Why do the gospel accounts differ? Why did Jesus use parables? Are there demon-possessed people today? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is the big book of New Testament questions and answers. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers is written by Dr. Michael Eschelbach of Concordia University, Chicago. The Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers.
Do we have the determination to confront the slow-motion moral collapse that has taken place in parts of our country these past few generations?
Abraham Lincoln said, states do not have the right to do wrong. And when we have people that say states have the right to pass gay marriage, I say, no, they do not.
My parents took us to church every week. We went to a Lutheran church, First Lutheran in Waterloo. They prayed with us at night. We prayed before we had mealtime. They really instilled wonderful values in us.
You cannot add to perfection. His perfect righteousness is imputed to you the same way your sins were imputed to him when he was on the cross.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
You would think that with only 12 main disciples, apostles, we would be able to tell one from another, but the names can sometimes confuse us. These men all had several names, or at least it seems that way. And the church is remembering on this day an apostle who is named in some of the Gospels, but we're told nothing about him in those Gospels. And then he is named, perhaps by a different name, in John's Gospel, and we're told quite a bit about him. Today, the church remembers Bartholomew. We will as well, here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, the 24th of August. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Dr. Curtis Giese joins us here for the first few minutes. A little bit later in the program, we'll talk with the author of a new study titled American Religion Contemporary Trends, Dr. Mark Shaves of Duke University. You might have read about this in the news, and then we'll get some analysis of what Dr. Shaves has found in American religious landscape with Shane Rosenthal, producer of the network radio talk show The White Horse Inn. Dr. Curtis Giese is a regular guest and professor of religion at Concordia University, Texas. Dr. Giese, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much. A pleasure to be with you.
I think we only hear of this man referred to by this name in lists of the apostles that we find in the New Testament. Is it possible that Bartholomew the Apostle went by a different name, and we actually have more on him in the New Testament?
Yeah, it appears most likely that he's also known by the name Nathanael. In the Synoptic Gospels, that is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Philip and Bartholomew are always mentioned together, and Philip is the key here. But in the Synoptics, Nathanael is never mentioned. But in the Gospel of John, Philip and Nathanael are mentioned together. Also outside of Scripture and some of the early church fathers, Philip and Nathanael, or Philip or Bartholomew, are mentioned simultaneously. So it's assumed that this is two names for the same person. And it makes sense because Bartholomew means Aramaic son of Talmai. And similarly also Simon Peter, by a similar thing, he's known as Simon son of Jonah, Simon bar Jonah. So a similar situation there that his second name was Bartholomew, and he's also known as Nathanael, which means given or gift of God or given by God or the like.
Well, if that's the case then at least according to John's Gospel, this is one of the very first of the apostles to be introduced, isn't he?
Yes, indeed. Very early in John's Gospel, it speaks about Jesus apparently calling a few of John the Baptist disciples to him. Andrew was Andrew, and then Simon Peter, and Philip is also one of the early ones. It says in John 1:43, then the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, and then finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." And then immediately Philip went to Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. It appears that there is a close relationship, as mentioned, between Philip and Nathanael, or Philip and Bartholomew. We don't know whether it's some sort of family or business relationship. They apparently did not come from the same town. Philip is from Bethsaida, whereas Nathanael is from Cana in Galilee. But apparently some close relationship that the first thing Philip did was told Nathanael that we have found the promised Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.
If I'm not mistaken, he rather famously remarks, what good can come out of Nazareth?
Yeah, apparently there's some sort of looking down upon the city of Nazareth. Well, Cana was not much of a metropolis either, but apparently was looked down upon in some way. It was an off-the-road place, and also it appears that Philip and Nathanael were astute students of the Old Testament of Scripture, and they knew that apparently it was spoken about the Savior had come from perhaps Bethlehem or be associated with Jerusalem. So he's apparently surprised that the promised Savior would come out of Nazareth.
And well, tell us the rest of that story, because it leads remarkably and very early in John's Gospel to something of a confession of faith on the part of Nathanael.
Indeed, the Gospel of John proclaims so vividly that Jesus is the Son of God. John says that very early, and the Word became flesh, and then John the Baptist specifically claims that this is the Son of God, and the conversation with Nathanael leads to that very quickly as well. So after Nathanael says, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Philip says, come and see. He invites him to come and see Christ. So then it goes, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And so Jesus points to the Israel of faith, recognizes and states that Nathanael is one who has been hoping for the promised rescuer of Israel, the promised Savior, and the only way that he can truly have no deceit is by the forgiveness of the coming Savior, and now he is meeting the Savior who has come. And Nathanael replies to him, how do you know me? Nathanael asked, and Jesus then says, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. There could be some significance of this fig tree. Now, typically, houses were rather small, used for cooking and so on, but a place where one could sit and recline and study, very possibly his inner room where he'd get away. That was very possibly the fig tree. And here, Jesus knew his inner sanctuary and said he saw them while he was there. And so with that, he recognizes him as the promised Savior. And then comes a great confession. It says, then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And once again, it appears that Nathanael was very versed in his Old Testament that pointed to the coming Savior, because this confession of the Savior as the Son of God is very vivid in Psalm 2, and as mentioned, John the Baptizer makes that confession as well. And then also the Savior as the King of Israel. It's known that the Messiah would be a Savior in the line of David, and also the coming Savior is referred to as the King of Israel in Zephaniah and also Zechariah as well. Zechariah 9, where it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. And that refers to then the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday as well. So this is indeed a great confession. And this confession of Son of God and King of Israel encapsulates the proclamation of the Old Testament. And Nathanael knows it very well. And then Jesus goes on to say, you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? Greater things than these you will see. He added, very truly, I tell you that you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This is an image encapsulating a couple things. Daniel 7, as the great divine Son of Man is portrayed there, and also the account of Jacob and the ladder, and there Christ is positioned as central in that vision of Jacob, as Jacob is the one who carries on the promise among the patriarchs and so on. And also Jacob is one who did have deceit, and only by the forgiveness of Christ was he reckoned as one in whom there is no deceit. So Nathanael bears the forgiveness of those Israelites throughout the centuries, and now he is led to recognize Jesus as the Son of God, the King of Israel, and he's blessed to see many, many greater things than these as well.
Dr. Giese, there's very little more that we hear of Nathanael by that name, or Bartholomew, the name being remembered on this day. But the church does have some kind of legendary account of him after the New Testament cuts off. What is it, briefly?
Yes, both Eusebius and Jerome refer to him as traveling to India to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ there. Apparently, there's an emphasis on the Gospel of Matthew is one account. It's also possible, some tradition says, that he went as far as Armenia and may have converted the king of Armenia, again, uncertain, and that may have led to his martyrdom. He may have converted the king, and the brother of the king didn't like this and ordered that he be killed. It's very possible that he was crucified as well. And this day of Bartholomew today is in early church history the day in which he was crucified, the day in which he was martyred for his faith and his proclamation of Jesus Christ.
Well, speaking of his death, we'll talk a little bit about that on the other side of the break. The church is remembering on this day the Apostle Bartholomew on this 24th of August, Wednesday afternoon. We're doing the same with Dr. Curtis Giese, Professor of Religion at Concordia University, Texas. A few more minutes with him, then we're going to turn to the subject of a new study that's been published by Dr. Mark Shaves of Duke University called American Religion Contemporary Trends. We'll talk with Dr. Shaves about his findings and then find out what they mean with Shane Rosenthal of the White Horse Inn.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Curtis Giese is our guest, professor of religion at Concordia University, Texas. A few more minutes with him talking about the Apostle Bartholomew. You mentioned before the break his martyr's death. He is depicted most famously by Michelangelo as a man standing, and it's kind of gruesome, but he's holding his own skin and holding a knife as well. What is that about?
Yeah, it's part of the tradition of how he was killed, that he may have been flayed in some way and then additionally crucified. So a terrible way in which to die, but in the context of the great confession of Christ and giving up his life, as almost all of the other apostles as well. So there's been opposition to the faith, but thanks be to God, he continued to proclaim in spite of that.
So in summary, it sounds as though if we are, and we can be fairly certain, I think, that we are dealing with Bartholomew and Nathaniel as the same person. We're talking about the earliest of one of the earliest of Jesus' disciples, one of the earliest of the 12, and the earliest recorded to make a confession of faith regarding Christ, having been well taught and prepared by the forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist himself.
Yes, indeed. This is a very important person in the early church. Nonetheless, not much is mentioned about him. Apparently, it is obviously stated in John 21 that he is a witness of the resurrection after Jesus was raised. When Peter and others went out to go fishing, he is one of those who went along as well, and he was a witness of the ascension according to Acts chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 also. So he is indeed a pivotal person in the early church. We don't hear much about him. He was content to point to Christ, and that Christ would increase and he would decrease, that Christ would be the emphasis. So we give thanks to God for the disciple, St. Bartholomew, on this day as we remember him.
Dr. Curtis Giese is professor of religion at Concordia University, Texas, and a regular guest. Dr. Giese, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you so much. Always an honor to be with you.